A reading from Colossians chapter 1. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Christ all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through Christ and for Christ. Christ is before all things, and in all things Christ holds together. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that Christ might come to have first place in everything. For in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to God's self all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, Christ has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before God, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. A reading from Luke chapter 10. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her."
Please, would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be like water and sunlight for the truth that you have planted in our souls. Amen. So I don't know about you, but this ending of today's scripture in Colossians is a little overwhelming. It says that our salvation is secure, provided that we continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Wow. Just this week, I was envying the folk who get to call Williams flooring and have their wooden floors replaced. Because mine creak, I want to tell you. I think they've been sanded a few too many times, especially in the high traffic areas. No sneaking around the house at my place. They are creaky floors. I often think, oh, I wish I could just throw down a slab of cement. It would be so solid, no worry, no bother, but it would mean filling in the entire basement. Not that good of an idea. And cement is a solid flooring. It would hold us secure, no creaking or wobbling, no feeling that we're shaking in any way. It might be that our faith should be like that cement floor, holding us securely, never having any tremor or doubt, no question or worry or thought. I don't know about you, but I think I'll keep my wood floor because it reflects my faith a little better. It creaks from time to time. It's a little wobbly. Sometimes that's in the corners that aren't used that much where I haven't thought something through. But often it's in the high traffic areas, the times when I'm under stress and I'm like, God, where are you? What is this all about? That I feel that creaking and that groaning. Well, we've been told that our salvation is secure if we continue, securely established and steadfast, immovable. Wow. Without shifting. Wow. And that this gospel has been shared with every creature under heaven. Have you ever had that debate about what happens to the people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you ever wondered what happens to their salvation and their eternal souls? Well, here in the scripture, we're being told that there's a gospel preached to every single creature under heaven. There is a gospel we all know. Those of you who were here last week know that I've been preaching a lot about the heart. And this is another one right up there. Because I don't know, when I think about it at the end of the day, whether our salvation is a key we get to heaven for one day. I think our salvation is more about the here and now. Our salvation is something that is a little more real to us. Every heart knows it. Every heart can feel it. Every heart knows in truth, deep down. There is a gospel, and it came to us in the person God, who saw fit to dwell within Jesus Christ. But when I listen to the teachings of Jesus Christ, I hear a man who said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are they who mourn. Let the little children come to me." The man who sat at the well and spoke with the Syrophoenician woman. The man who said, "Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part." Mary has chosen the better part. And so I think our salvation is secure not based on a whole lot of theological concepts that I might roll out on a scroll, learned at seminary, that we need to check off in a box, right? I don't think our salvation is secured in that way. I don't think our salvation is a key that we get to unlock some faraway heaven. I think our salvation is about understanding what Mary understood in the moment that she sat at Jesus' feet. It's something every heart knows, something every heart needs. Rosemary Radford Ruther, a theologian, wrote of this future salvation that we sometimes torment ourselves with and feel that we have to work towards, that cement floor we feel like we should achieve in our faith. She wrote, "To subject ourselves to the tyranny of impossible expectations of final perfection means to neglect to do what can and must be done for our times. It is this shaping of the beloved community on earth for our time and the generation to bequeath to our children that is our primary responsibility as human beings." And so holding some kind of expectation that our faith should never quiver or quake, that we should never doubt, is perhaps not the point. It's perhaps not the point. In fact, I think this scripture means that we need only rest secure in one thing, recognizing that in the here and now, in this present moment, all we have, in this moment, We need only put Christ first. We need only put Jesus Christ first. Well, that's all very well and good. I don't know how long your to-do list is at the moment, but mine's overwhelming. I can't stop long enough to do much of anything. In fact, think about those summers in the northeast of Ohio. We only get, what, 8 or 12 of them if you count out the rain days? Maybe it's only 6 this year now. And do you have a porch at home? Do you have a favorite chair? Do you have a three-season porch or an outdoor patio? Something you cleaned up and brushed off? And you count those precious times when you manage to squeeze away everything you have to do to take time to sit, whether it's with a book or whether it's with family and friends. We can count on our fingers the number of precious times when we manage to remember that on top of everything else we have to organize to invite our friends or family over for that barbecue we know is going to be a summer highlight. Life is overwhelming for each and every one of us. Life is overwhelming. And it is hard, to stop idolizing our own need for busyness, all the things we think we have to get done. It is hard not to be Martha, and I don't mean Martha Vi. It is hard not to be Martha in this scripture. We like to think we would know to pick Mary's part, but really, come down to it, we're probably all much more of a Martha. More power to you if you sorted it out and you feel that you're able to be Mary. But the call to salvation, the call to centering our lives, the call to security, the call to salvation is as simple as this, friends. In each and every moment, the only one we have, we're called to put Christ first. Simply to rest at Jesus' feet. Amen.